Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Professor, publisher, and editor walk into a studio, and they, we'll have the punchline for that for you later, we hope. Because here we are in the studio. The professor would be Dr. Alan Chartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, he being professor of communication emeritus at the University of Albany, and distinguished in many ways, the only man in the room with a PhD. Publisher being Stu Shinsky, acting publisher and editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal. Sir?
Hello, guys.
Hey, 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 and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union in Albany, New York, from where this program originates, and we'll see if we can get a punchline later. Three guys walk into a studio, and what happens? They do a radio show.
They gab for a half hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're lucky, you'll get some analysis, commentary, and even some insight into the media issues of the week.
I don't think you're allowed to say hey, hey, hey anymore, Rex.
I am not. Is that...
Well, that's Cosby line.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, well, Fat
Did
Albert, I think
hey,
he
hey,
said hey, hey, hey.
Mm,
yeah.
No, Cosby reference.
Wow.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, that would be... It's amazing how quickly someone's reputation can go.
And you're not kidding. We're talking about the most beloved man in America for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot to talk about today, starting with a little bit of a tenor of the times. There is an expert in the media in Canada, our wonderful neighbor to the north, saying that Canada may have no print newspapers by 10 years from now. Few, if any, print newspapers by 2025, according to a guy named Ken Goldstein, who is the leading business analyst on media issues in Canada. This comes at the same time that another newspaper out in California has gone from daily to twice a week, the Madera Tribune, which is in the county right next to Fresno, and at a time when even here in New York's capital region, the newspaper that Dr. Chartok is the publisher of, the student newspaper, the Legislative Gazette, covering the state legislature, has dropped print, right?
That's right. You know, Rex, the Legislative Gazette is a paper that I guess I thought up years and years ago after I'd started a major internship program in the state legislature. And the idea was that the young people would do their practicum, the young aspiring journalists would do their practicum at the Gazette and then go on. And indeed they have. Our graduates have won a couple of Pulitzers. They're on papers all over the place. Stu Shinsky himself, who's sitting here, will attest that several of them have gone on to work, you know, at
I got a couple in my newsroom, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it really has been a terrifically successful project. But it was self-funding. State University at New Paltz hired the editor as a faculty member, but otherwise it was a huge budget after a while, and it couldn't be sustained. Even your boss,
George Hearst,
mm-hmm. took a careful look at it and then looked at me and said, stick a fork in it.
figuratively speaking, of course. The notion being that there wasn't enough ad revenue anymore to sustain
it. Wasn't,
right?
It wasn't going to be there. Yeah. Look, we all know the facts of life, and that is print costs a lot. Advertising has gone down, and people are moving on the web. And from my point of view, as long as the educational component of the Legislative Gazette continues, which is that we take young people, we give them a beat, we give them stories to do, they do it online, sooner or later, most of us are going to be there. One way or the other, that's where we're going to be. Now, you guys are editor and publisher of two great newspapers, really great newspapers, and with all kinds of integrity. And I'm just praying that you can hold on, because what you do is amazing.
Well, thank you. We face the same pressures on print, you know, right? But you're going to be in print for a while, don't you think, Stu?
I think so. And I think one of the important differentiators here with the situation in Canada is that a lot of those newspapers are national, and their geographic breadth is very broad. at the Poughkeepsie Journal, where I work, we are so local. We cover one county, and the more local it is, the more unique it is, and the more, frankly, in demand it is. That said, will there be a printed Poughkeepsie Journal in 20 years? I can't predict that. I can't predict what we're going to have for dinner tonight. But I will tell you this, the appetite for news is just out there, and it's just being delivered in a different way sometimes.
Well, it's hard to sustain. Yeah. The difficulty is that what has made newspapers unique among media in a community is that we have had enough revenue to hire big staffs. So right. We have reporters who specialize on topics, and they can go in depth into issues in a way that television can't, because they've had to do a smattering of things. And basically, the TV stations work off the reporting in newspapers.
That's true.
They read our stuff and they do the stories.
And internet news sources as well.
Internet does the same thing too, right? And so the difficulty is, if the revenue that has been coming in print, it diminishes enough, there just won't be enough money to sustain the kind of staff that is necessary so the newspapers can keep their unique position as news providers. And then what happens? Then where do the internet sites get their content?
If they collapse, and it's our fault.
Right.
Well, as you guys know, nature does tend to abhor a vacuum. And so we don't know what will happen, because my wonderful newspaper that I love so much in Berkshire County, the Berkshire Eagle, you know, is down to a very skeletal staff when you compare it with what it once was, because it was bringing in millions of dollars. It's not anymore. So it's just a matter of pure economics. Either the money is there or it isn't. And now, many of these newspapers, including the Eagle, I believe, have been up for sale for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't got anybody to buy them.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and I came up with this interesting idea. They said, well, who will possibly buy them and spend all that money? And the answer is Bezos from Amazon, or anybody who has an ego, which is, I'd like to have a newspaper and get my view of life out there, and I have enough money to give away because I'm a multi-billionaire, so I could do that. I could buy a newspaper, get read in the White House, and feel real good about myself.
The problem with the companies like that, which owns the Berkshire Eagle, Digital First Media, is that they are so deeply in debt as a result of the years of expansion 20 years ago, and that company has gone through three bankruptcies, that for the owners, the hedge funds that own them, to get their money out of it, they're not going to be able to sell them for nearly what they have invested in them. Because I think somebody locally would buy the Berkshire Eagle and could make a going concern of it, perhaps not as a daily in print, maybe as something like this newspaper in
But they can't, but just
California.
to finish the thought, Rex, they can't afford it, is your point, right?
Yes, but they can't afford to buy the price that the seller is demanding of it to cover the debt load that those companies have taken on. That company includes the Denver Post. It now includes
Iris, usually
on this program, Ira Fussfeld, the Daily Freeman in Kingston. It includes in Silicon Valley, the
San Jose Mercury News,
which was, you know, 15 years ago, that was one of the greatest newspapers in America, the Merc. And now they're looking for an editor who will run the Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group.
I think it's called.
And what they're looking for at this point, and this is interesting in the context of looking for the journalists of tomorrow, they're looking for a digital leader. They're looking for someone who really has those digital skills and maybe journalism, too. That is an interesting change in what kind of leader they're looking for.
I don't understand. Help me with this, Rex. So you say they're looking for a digital leader, and maybe it was snide, maybe not, and also maybe somebody who knows something about journalism. So it's not possible to find somebody who knows about digital journalism?
The medium is the message. It really is. Where in the past it was, we have a printing press, we print newspapers, we give them to you in your house in your deli. Now you have to understand the technology and the evolution and, honestly, the blatant change in lifestyles and how news is consumed. And you can create a great story, but you have to know how to get it out there, how to market it, how to brand it, how to understand the digital techniques that are just emerging every day.
But think of the implications. A newspaper stops covering things the way that it used to. And as you're quite right, Rex, everybody robs from the newspapers. We used to kid around in Great Barrington that we could hear the guy turning the pages
when they were
doing the robbing.
Rip and read was ripping the stories out of the paper, right?
It's not a joke. It's true in a lot of communities. Yeah.
I used to work at a television station, and I remember the assignment editors literally cutting stuff out and say, here, go do this one. And politicians, by the way, cutting out stories and saying to their aides, do me a bill on this thing.
Yeah.
So that the newspapers were setting the agenda for everybody. So let's assume there are no more newspapers the way we see them now. Well, first of all, I think a lot of people are going to start doing what I've done, and I'm 74 years old, going to the New York Times in the middle of the night. I think it's just a matter of time before everybody knows you go to the Times Union, the Poughkeepsie Journal, or to the New York Times, and you read the stories. Otherwise, when you open up the paper the next morning, it's going to be a day late.
Yeah, the difficulty, though, is how do you support the reporting staff, even if you are purely digital? How do you get enough revenue to support
because
that staff?
Because I think, and this is where my only hope, that we are in a transition period where advertisers are slowly beginning to realize that if they want to get the word out, they got to pay digital. Now, they've never assumed that, and it's different. You can't send your tante a hard copy or something that, you know, but you can send them a link, and sooner or later, everybody is going to understand that digital is where it is, in which case I hope that you'll be able to start hiring people again.
That would be a wonderful thing.
And that'll only work if the advertiser finds it's an effective delivery medium for their message and they grow their customers, because a lot of times on a website, that ad, it might pop up, but it might also be you have to click five times to get to it, and it doesn't have the same presence of the ad on page 9.
Well, by the way, I love the way the New York Times is doing it. Not that I love getting interrupted, but they are sticking those ads in the middle of the story.
Everywhere.
So you can't avoid it. I mean, you know, you're in the middle of the story, and there's the ad popping up.
Or in Stu's case, I went to look at a story on your paper online yesterday, and the huge full page, my screen was filled with an ad before I got to the story.
Gravity ad, we call those.
The gravity ad?
Because it falls down onto the webpage.
And I couldn't figure out, how do I get rid of this? What do I do?
We don't want you to.
And you ask yourself,
stare at the ad for a few days.
Right. I think it was Ford, or maybe it was.
It was a Ford. Yes, it was.
It worked.
And Rex would probably also add, not how do you get rid of this, but how do we get in on this?
Right. Yes, exactly. Well, dear Hearst newspapers, please see Poughkeepsie Journal.
And actually, we kid around, but it's actually, we've gotten feedback, it's a very effective advertising tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where someone who may have been a print advertiser may say, hey, that can help me. That can get me the results I want.
See, this is a publisher speaking now.
Well, but I have to tell you, the other day I got a message as the president of WAMC saying, my child thinks there are too many promos on WAMC and too much underwriting. And I called him and I said, wait. You mean to say you want a fourth, fifth, and sixth fund drive during the year? I mean, there are choices to be made, obviously.
Absolutely. News may want to be free. But the gathering of news is not free, and journalists need to be paid. And if you want to do that, you got to look for some advertising, underwriting,
Rex,
or contribute to the fund drive. You know, there's your cue, Alan.
Rex, I want to. No.
Starting very soon on WAMC.
I believe so. There's even a locked box. You can do it right now.
October the 5th.
You're welcome, Alan.
And thank you for that. And I would never dare to. Never mind.
Donations are tax deductible.
Okay, but think
get
about
a T-shirt, a mug.
Think about the political implications. Assuming that newspapers disappear, or that as we're watching, they are disappearing, and as Rex said, the specialists who he hires aren't around in every case to cover the way that they used to cover things. This has huge implications for the body politic and for what people can get away with if they're not being watched.
You know, it is interesting. We find, though, that people are paying less attention to real news as it is. One of the phenomena that we're seeing in this election year, I think, is that voters are reacting to Donald Trump, notwithstanding journalism pointing out the lack of substance to his arguments, the inconsistencies of what he's said over the years. So serious journalism may be diminishing. It would be diminishing his campaign if people were paying any attention, but they're not. Right?
Well, maybe not. Let me argue with you as if you were Rosemary. let me argue and say that I think that sometimes there is a sort of zeitgeist. There is a communication between people even before the internet, which defies what the newspapers are telling them. So, for example, people like this Trump guy, and everybody assumes, oh, how could they do that? He's such a character. But on the other hand, he's not a politician. And I think if we see one thing that is going on in this campaign so far, is a rejection of the professional class of politicians. I want to remind you both that the Daily News and others, I believe, did not endorse Franklin Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And yet he won overwhelmingly. So sometimes the newspapers can't push all the buttons.
I guess that's true. And because nowadays, of course, the media are in low repute along with every other institution, mm-hmm. major institution in society. So and people tend to disregard what we say.
And it's just so generational where, you know, we're sitting here in a studio in Albany, New York, three, you know, white gentlemen of middle or, you know, older age. And we're not the future, guys. We're just not. You know, the 22-year-old who does everything on her cell phone doesn't have that habit. So the habit is disappearing. The digital is the thing. And how does that information get there? And how do those tastes mm-hmm. that are shaped by Facebook, shaped by Instagram, shaped by that instant moment of, I like this right now, I want to share it with people. That's where it is.
And the visual is so important. Let's talk a little bit about
that
because here's a great instance of where non-print publication can make a difference. In San Antonio, Texas, a neighbor shot a video showing a man being shot to death during an arrest. And this video, if you've looked at it, and I have, is stunning to see.
Yes.
The man stands there holding his hands up, and by the appearance of this video, is shot point blank by the cops as he's standing there with his hands up.
And by the way, Rex, it's so interesting that this phenomenon of doing video is there in this case. There was apparently the first video that we all saw, and everybody said, well, it may be a little bit inconclusive, but there was another video going on somewhere else. A second guy was doing the video, and so it's conclusive now.
There's a lot there, and so there are a couple of issues there. One of them is that this is the kind of thing that if there were not media able to show this video, if we didn't have widespread distribution, basically, of the journalistic task of bringing in information, in this case visual information, people would never know about this. This is why people are having cameras out there now. Video cameras is changing the relationship between cops and citizens. The other issue that's interesting is that the TV station KSAT in San Antonio paid the guy $100 to give them the video. And usually news organizations don't pay for news, but in this case, I might have done that if I were the news director, don't you think?
Well, I've purchased a video.
Is that right?
We have purchased videos. We had a musician named Akon who appeared at a local concert about 7 years ago in Dutchess County, New York, and a student at the concert came on the stage, and this rap artist literally picked this kid up and threw him off the stage. And we purchased that video, it was like $50 or something like that. We got a massive amount of views on it, but we bought it for the journalistic question behind it. And actually, the rapper was arrested and had to go to court to face the charges. But video, what we're talking about now is it's almost like new things. This is going to be, you know, the verb and the noun of how news is delivered and told in future days and months. And this is just the beginning of the video revolution in storytelling.
So I want to go back to something you guys were saying about paying. So when you pay, let's say you had the only picture of the World Trade Center coming down. Let's say you had the only one when the planes hit. What would that be worth? So somebody comes to you and says, I have this picture. And you say, I'll give you $100. Let's just posit that. But you know that this thing is worth, what, $5 million? $50,000? What is it worth? Is there a negotiating process that we see unfolding before us?
I think so.
It's a difficult thing. You know, I shouldn't say, it's not so unusual to pay for photographs or for video, I guess. The difference is you don't pay people for their stories. You don't pay people for talking to you, supposedly.
Right. Not
yet. What the networks have done for a long time is they...
the celebrity quote-unquote interview that they paid for.
Right.
The newsmaker quote-unquote, you do this and we'll do that. Yes.
Yeah, or they'll buy a piece of video supposedly, but what they're actually buying is the interview with the person. So there's a fine line there. I've had people who will, when we're trying to interview them, will say to the reporter, what are you going to pay me to talk to you? And the reporter comes to me, and I always have to say, we don't pay for information. Yeah. We can't do that. Yeah. But, you know, if you're buying a video, how different is that?
Especially within 10 minutes, there are going to be 3 million views of what you're putting up there.
Yeah.
And it's a question of, well, is it really exclusive? Is this really the only shot? And, of course, you know, if someone says it's worth $50 and you say, I'll give you $50, well, then the value is $50. And then are you licensing it? Do you own it? Are you buying it outright? There's actually legal implications with this stuff.
Okay. So all of the people listening to the Media Project right now, they're fascinated by this because they all have cell phones and they all think that at some point they're going to be in that situation where they can do the film. What should they do?
Call me.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we get folks who see car accidents. They'll send us video.
Yeah.
Photos of a kitten in a tree.
And you'll use it, right? Because it generates page views.
We'll look at, is this worth it? Is this something? And a lot of times they don't even want to buy it. They don't want to sell. They just want to say, hey, we thought you might want to, you know, share this.
Now, this means the Rubicon has been crossed, or the genie is out of the bottle, obviously. And in the old days, I dare say, although I can't really remember anything, but that you guys might have said, we don't pay for stories. We don't want to pay, because once you do that, the floodgates are open. And I take it you're both saying to me now, the floodgates are open.
Well, I think artwork is different than stories to a degree.
Yeah. I think that's true. If you start paying people to talk to you, what you're going to do is you're going to end up engendering stories. You're going to basically be buying news. That is, people will create stories based upon
so let me give you, say what you want.
So let me give you a situation. Yeah. The Unabomber, Kaczynski. I'm making this up. He's hiding in his living room. You knock on the door, and he says, listen, I got a mother, I got a this, that. He doesn't say that because he was estranged, but he says, you know, come on in, but there's 1,000 reporters outside, but I want $10,000 for my story right now. Now, after he's convicted, you can't do that, but before he could, would you do it?
Well, fortunately, we don't have the money to be able to do that. The networks do. The TV networks, I think, do that kind of thing, and we don't.
But if it's extraordinary, you wouldn't call the boss up and say, hey, George, can we come up with the money for this?
I don't think so.
It's such a sticky wicket, and each circumstance is so individual and can be so different. I mean, the Unabomber is obviously a rare extreme.
That's why I'm giving you the Unabomber.
If I had someone who came to me and say, hey, well, Dutchess County executive, legislator, politician X is that, and I'll tell you the story for $50, well, we're going to say, no, we're not going to pay you.
Or as the old joke goes, $50, $100, $1,000. Yeah. Now we know what you are. It's just
right.
Exactly. Okay, but Rex, we want to talk a little bit about the wisdom of putting certain pictures
in
the paper.
Well, that's it, because sometimes the story is the visual. And the great example of that is the Syrian boy drowned off Turkey, which was a remarkable series of photographs that the New York Daily News put on the front page, the New York Post used inside. One angle shows this little child, probably about 3 years old, face down in the sand. Another one shows the soldier carrying the lifeless body, one with a face and one not showing face. So what do?
You do it. You have to do it. As I've said before, when that Vietnam picture, which we all remember so well, of the guy kneeling down and the gun at his head, and you know that he's going to be killed, here I am all these years later, it has never disappeared from me. And if you had tried to say that in words, you never would have made that impression.
It makes the point. The boy being carried out of the building, the Murrah building in Oklahoma City after the bombing by the firefighter. We remember that image.
And you will be criticized for running the picture.
Yes. People don't like, in America, people don't like photographs.
Now, on the front page of the New York Post the other day, several days ago, I think it was the Post, I don't want to get sued here, there was the picture of the guy urinating. A frontal shot of the homeless gentleman, urinating, frontal shot. That told everybody in New York City that you got a big problem.
Yeah, it depends on, it used to be your only venue was that newspaper page, and that was your delivery method. Now, maybe you don't put it in the newspaper. Maybe you put it on your website. Maybe you put it on a website and say click here with a note that this may be graphic. You have to know your audience. I mean, the New York Post's audience is anyone and everyone anywhere who's looking
anything
for the sensationalism.
Yeah.
In Poughkeepsie, I can't say that I'm going to put a man urinating on the front page.
Right.
Would I put it on our website? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of factors that have to be worked in here. But for a small town news organization, I think it starts. You need to know your audience and their sensibilities, because it's just not do this and that works for the entire industry.
Great point.
All right. And in that point, we got to go. We're out of time.
I thought we went to an hour. We didn't.
We didn't get to the punchline.
But.
Anyway, publisher, professor, and editor walk into studio, and what do you get?
30 minutes of insights.
We should be so lucky. Thanks for joining us this week on The Media Project.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling, city desk. Hold the press. Extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Like the richest girl who could not bake a cake. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ling-a-ling, ling. Now newspapermen are such interesting people. They used to work like hell just for romance. But finally, the movies notwithstanding, they all got tired of patches on their pants. They organized a union to get a living wage. They joined with other actors upon a living stage. Now newspapermen are such interesting people when they know they've got a people's fight to wage. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, newspaper gill, got a free new world to build.